read out of the book of Matthew and also the book of Luke this morning. There we go. Thank you very much. Let's begin in the book of Matthew. Now, this is the third sermon, and you'll notice the title is Ugly Motives. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in the scripture here today that you can reflect in your life. And I'm not going to be able to tell you what your ugly motives are because you have different ones than I got, but you'll get the gist of it and how we live our Christian lives and what God calls us how to live and what that should look like. And so let's begin our reading there. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. Now, there are three examples here this morning as I read. See if you can pick up on the three examples. It's pretty easy to read along with. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Like the pagans.
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For as you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's turn to the book of Luke at this time, chapter 2. And if you know your Bible well enough, you know that this is part of the Christmas story as well. Verses 1 through 7, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And here's what I want you to pay attention to this next couple verses. I want you to notice how Christ comes into the world. And then I'm going to talk about what we're going to talk about today. And the two come together, okay? And she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Okay? Reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by your grace alone that we come here this morning. Lord, as you read from your word today, Lord, I pray that you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today, those who are watching online, may you bless them with that same spirit. May you teach them something new that they maybe never heard before. Lord, may you teach us continually how to live this Christian life. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have a couple stories about motivation that I want to talk with you about this morning. The first one is a little bit humorous, so follow along with me here this morning. And Caitlin, you're going to have to advance for me. It's not wanting to work at all here today. If you could advance one slide for me. There we go. There was a farm boy that got a white football for Christmas, totally white. And so he's kicking this football around in his backyard, and they had a neighbor that lived fairly close. And in the backyard, there was a chicken coop. And so he's kicking that football around, and that football flies over the fence, and it lands in the neighbor's yard. And so the rooster comes out of the hen house, and he sees this, what he thinks is this egg laying there. And he calls all the hens out of the hen house. He says, "Ladies, you got to come here for a moment. I got something to show you." And so they gather around the rooster, and they see this white football, and this rooster thinks it's an egg. And he says to these ladies, "Do you see what the neighbors are doing?" Now you're supposed to laugh. All right? So here's the point. It's motivation in many different ways. So let me try another one with you this morning. There's a company in Michigan who was struggling with getting their employees to work. They're in a bigger city in the downtown area. And so they have 50 employees, 50 cars. So what this company did is they came out with a policy and they redid their parking lot. And they made enough parking places for 45 cars. And guess what? If you're late to work, you don't get a parking spot. That's their motivation to get their people to work on time. Now, I give you two different examples of motivation here this morning. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is what motivates you in your Christian life. That's what I want to know about this morning in your heart. What's going on in your life? What does that look like? And so we're going to learn about that this morning because you and I, we are motivated by different things in our lives. And you might go through different seasons of life. You might find yourself in different places in life. But there are still things that you'll be motivated by. And so the question that I want to always come back to is, what is motivating you in your Christian life? What are those things? Or maybe not the things you should be doing, and so on, in your life. So keep that in mind this morning as you go through this, because I'm going to kind of dig deep into your spirit here today, and I want to challenge you in your walk with Christ. Here's a real frank statement that I'm going to make to you this morning. Sometimes we are searching for praise from people when we should be seeking praise from God in our motives. The things that we do. Things you do for others. The things you maybe do for your family. Maybe the things you do for your coworkers or your neighbors. Why do you do those things? Is it because of your glory? Or is it because you're truly seeking the praise of God for the things you're doing in your life? And when we seek the things for our own motivation, for our own praise, I'm going to tell you that those are ugly motives. You're doing them for the wrong reason in your life. Now notice I got this beautiful sweater once again that was made for me. And we've kind of been through a few of these this past few weeks. We begin with ugly thoughts. They start in our brain, don't they? And then once in a while we can't control ourselves. And then we get to ugly words and we say things we shouldn't be saying, especially to our loved ones. And then we even go deeper this morning, and we're going to talk about those ugly motives that our heart maybe produces that get us a little sideways in our Christian walk. Each of us makes a decision in our lives based on those different motivations. So let's dig a little deeper. It's important for us to pay attention to our motives because they can result in a blessing to others or they can result in being selfish. How many of you, now don't raise your hands here this morning, how many of you know of selfish people in your lives? Right? There's a few of you that like, you see, you don't have to find a selfish person. You will pick up on that and you will know that, oh man, that person is kind of selfish. But have you ever looked at your own life? Because it's easy to see the other person, right? But what about you? What about if you were to go home and look in the mirror and you were to ask yourself those questions, how am I doing? Am I the type of person that loves to give and gives out of the goodness of my heart? And I don't care about the praise of this world or my neighbor and what they think of me, but I care about what God thinks of me. And I do it for Him, not for others. the mark of a true Christian is someone who is motivated by love to treat others as better than themselves, to put others first before your needs, to be humble in those things. Philippians 2 verse 3, it's on the bottom of your screen here this morning in the purple box. It says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's a teaching for you and I how to live our lives from day to day and what that should look like as well. But you know, you and I were always tempted by our sinful nature to put ourselves first. That's born into you because you are a sinful person. I don't have to teach you that. That will come natural for you in your life. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to look different in the world, you're going to have to work at that because it doesn't come natural. And that can be hard some days for you and I to do that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the example that Jesus gives us, we can rise above being selfish. We can rise above these ugly motives that come into our lives. You can change. You can live differently according to how Scripture teaches you and I with the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was particularly interested in people's motives and the reasons for why they did what they did. He wasn't so concerned about the motive itself. He was more concerned about, why is this person acting like this? What's causing their heart to want to do these things? And of course, Jesus being all-knowing, he understood very well, better than you and I, that it was our sinful nature that we fight against. But we can rise above. So look at Matthew chapter 6. And I think I got these on the screen here for you this morning. More Bible verses I want to throw at you. If you have your Bible open with you this morning, that's great. But I'm going to point out these three that I read to you this morning in their motives. So Jesus comes against the people of the church. And they think they've got it figured out. Right? The Jewish people. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how we should look. And they didn't really leave a lot of room for the Spirit to move into work. And then Jesus comes along and he tips the whole church upside down and he says, this is what worship should look like. This is what your life as a Christian should look like. But why are you doing this? And it came back to motives, didn't it? Because you want others to see the way that you think you're better than your neighbor. You want others to think that you've got it all figured out, is what he's trying to tell them. And then here's the three examples that I want to give you this morning. Matthew 6, verse 2. When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you. Right? Don't make it obvious. Don't brag about how much money you gave to the poor and think that you're better than everybody else. That's what Jesus says. Because if that's your motive, it's ugly. It's wrong, is what Jesus says. Now, let me clarify with you this morning. There's nothing wrong with giving to the poor. There's nothing wrong with the other two that I'm going to share with you. But it's wrong when you do it for your self-praise. Remember I told you, where's your heart at? How are you doing in this area of your life? Let's move to the next one, Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners. And if you read on in that scripture, and it says to be seen by men. Their whole motive, the whole entire time of them praying out in the open and loud and rambling on, is that they wanted to be seen by as many people as they could. And the thought was that if they could be seen by others, that others thought they would be the holy of holies. Right? And we probably all know people like that, don't we? They think they're just a little bit better than the next person. And Jesus says, your heart's not any different than the next person. You're all in need of a Savior. You all have sin. I don't care how good you are. We still fall short. You need me, is what Jesus says. Here's the third one. Matthew 6, verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearances so that they will be noticed by men. Right? When you fast, that means that you don't eat for a period of time. And you go into a time of prayer, right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you as a pastor. I'm not a big faster, and it probably shows, right? I like my Christmas candy, and I like pie and cake and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing that Jesus is trying to tell us about fasting. When you fast, don't do it for others to see what you're doing. Do it for your relationship between you and God. When you fast, you're to go into into that place without a lot of people knowing. It's a time that God will speak to people in that time when they fast. And as your stomach rumbles and stuff like that and you have hunger pains, also it connects you closer with the Heavenly Father. And that was common in the Old Testament. It's common in the New Testament. There are many of you that might do it yet today. And that's a good practice if you like to fast. Some people will do it for several days. Some maybe for 12 hours to get closer to the Lord. But the point that Jesus is making here is make sure that your motives are right. Don't go into a fast thinking, you know what? I'm going to lose some weight, right? That's the wrong motive. You go into a fast because you want to connect at a deeper level with Jesus Christ. When you go into the room and you pray in secret, you want to get to a deeper level of Jesus Christ. He sees your heart. You don't do it for man. And you know what I really love about this? That Jesus puts it right out there. Don't do as the others do, as they babble on. You can come to Jesus with just the plain, simple words that you know. It doesn't have to be this fancy, exorbitant prayer with long words and all that in it. Jesus says, you just come to me and you tell me what you need because I already know your heart. I know exactly what you need, but I want to hear it from you because I love you. How many of you have children? Yeah. How many of you know your children well enough? You know their needs. You understand their thought processes. You know what goes in their life so much, but yet you ask them a question that you already know. You ever been there? Right? Why do you ask that question if you already know? Because you want to hear their voice. You want to have a conversation with them. You want to connect with your child. And that's exactly what God the Father wants to do when you and I pray. He wants to hear your voice. Because he loves you. That's the real motive. And anything outside of that, that's ugly. That's for herself. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, he's seen that people thought they needed to look spiritual more than having a healthy spirituality. You know, if you have a healthy spirituality, you're at home in your prayer life, you're at home in the Word of God or at work in the Word of God, where most likely a lot of people aren't going to see you. But God does all the time. That's a healthy spirituality. Think about that in your own life this morning. Look at your own motives, because Jesus is interested and what's behind the motive. He wants to know what's going on right here. Why are you doing the things you're doing? What does that look like in your life? Here's another. It's kind of a strong question for you, and I think you guys will get it when I ask it. Have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Have you ever done that in your walk, in your life? It doesn't have to be around these areas that I talked about this morning. I'm just talking life in general here. Have you done the right thing for the wrong reason in your life? All right? And I'm going to be honest with you. If I was to ask you, yeah, raise your hands, I bet every one of your hands should go up. Because we're not a perfect people. Our hearts desire things. We lust after things, right? We want this. We want that. That's our natural tendency. And sometimes we might do things that are right, that are biblical, that honor God, but we might do them for the wrong reason. And I know I got those as well. I'm not any different than you are. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Here's the point I want to make with you this morning. This is pretty important. It can cost you your ability to grow into the person that God wants you to be. Because when you do them for the wrong reasons, you cut yourself short in your spiritual growth. God doesn't get to use you to your full potential. How many of you would love to be used to the fullest potential in the kingdom of God today? Just a couple. Next week's sermon will be about the potential that God gives us. All right? You see, that's the point about our motives. And I'm gonna say this to you this morning as well. I preach this message to you from grace. It's from the love of God because he wants your all. He just doesn't want part of you. He wants your all. Give it your best shot is what he's asking out of you as you live this Christian life. And just remember, that's why Jesus came. Because you're not going to do it right all the time. There's grace. And there's love. In the middle of all of this that goes on in our life. So let me end with this statement. Jesus is always and is our motivation to live this Christian life in the world that you and I live in today. Nothing else should motivate you. Right? Think about that in your life. Because when Jesus is your motivation, now I'm going to give you some tools here that you're going to be able to look at in your life here. Am I doing okay with this, all right? You have the desire to draw attention to him. When Jesus is your motivation, it should look like this in your life. So let me give you some examples of what that should look like, and you can kind of fill in the gaps. When you serve others, it becomes easy to say, we are doing this because Jesus first loved us. Right? That should come natural for you and I when you hear those things. Here's another one. When we love others around us, it is easy to say we are doing this because Jesus first loved us. And here's another one. We are doing this to serve others because Jesus first served us. We take the spotlight off of us and you give it to God. One of the things that I deal with in this congregation that is hard for me, and most of you know this. At the end of the day, you like, if I give a really good sermon, you'll say, Rob, you had a good message today. And my answer to you, and I have a hard time saying this, I'll say thank you, but all the glory goes to God in heaven. Amen? It is not me. And you say, no, I think it's you. No, it's the God in heaven. Because if you had to rely on me, this young little boy that was shy and nervous, and when I got in front of people, my hands would sweat profusely. And here I stand today in the power of God, preaching the word to you. Only by God's grace. To him be the praise for those things in my life. And your life should be no different. You're given gifts. You're given the ability to do things. You have passions, all given by God to give him glory. So how are your motives in the midst of all that in your life? That's what I want you to think about. Here's the blue box. This is your homework for the week. I always give you homework this last few weeks, right? I never liked homework, but I think this is good homework. So I want you to choose one person to do something kind to as a way to honor Jesus. Not yourself. Don't let them know you're doing it. Just do an act of kindness. And I don't know what that'll look like. If you don't know, pray. God will show you in a heartbeat what you should do. But that's what I want you to work on this week. And you know what? I think some of you are already doing this. This is how you live life. It's natural for you. You're at that point. And if you're not, I'm going to invite you into that. Choose that person that you can be kind to this week and whatever that looks like you decide to do, but do it in secret. Not for men to see, but to praise God. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning. You are a great creator. God, you sustain us. Lord, you give us the ability to live the Christian life with the Holy Spirit. Lord, if we would know the power of that in our lives and the capabilities that you give us to live this life, we have the ability to change the world through you, and may we use it. Lord, may our motives be pure. May they be to honor and to bring you praise in all that we do. In Jesus I pray, amen.